do you remember who Tom Brady's competition was at University of Michigan?
Oh God, I don't watch. I don't watch them.
The team up north. Like, sorry.
I tell you, when I never have paid attention to Michigan outside of beating them. I mean, who was the running back? They had a running back number 20 is all I remember. One season I saw more than one game outside of us playing them. So no, I'm not even sure.
97 through 99, I'm not sure. You might be thinking about Mike Hart, no 7.
Mike Hart! Holy crap. Yeah,
everybody fucking remembers Mike Hart. But yeah, there's competition at Michigan. 97, when Michigan had to share the national title, his competition was Brian Griese. And Brian Griese was the senior, ultimately held him off for the job. Those final couple of years, there were two dudes. I forget who the second dude was, but the other guy, Scott, you may remember Drew Henson.
Oh, yes.
Who was a minor leaguer for the Yankees. He might have gotten some bird for the Yankees.
Have y'all watched the Brady Six?
Yes.
It's a documentary about the six quarterbacks. Right? Yeah, he's on there. Yeah.
That's right. And then he went on the quarterback the Cowboys for a little bit.
Giovanni Carmazzi, another quarterback.
Giovanni Carmazzi, what a fucking bomb. Good God. but I guess, like, you know, Lloyd Carr always used to say, like, yo, Brady, like, talent-wise, to him, didn't measure up to what Brian Griese's talent was, didn't measure up to what Drew Henson's talent was. Drew Henson's talent was so good, he was a two-sport athlete. But Brady's mind was always studying film, always, you know, able to decipher defenses. And here we are, 20 some odd years later, he's 44 years old, and that's what's keeping him in the game. So kids today, hopefully coming up as young quarterbacks, learn the game, learn how to play quarterback. Learn how to read defenses. Learn that shit early, and then once you get to the league, carry it. Keep it going. These kids right now are the most talented crop of quarterbacks we've ever seen. Imagine that they match the talent with the intellect. Imagine what these quarterbacks can be.
It was a fairly solid week for a good rookie quarterback outside of Trevor Lawrence.
Let's talk about that. The rookie QBs. I want to rank the rookie QBs. It's kind of hard to do Justin Fields, so I want to leave.
I'm not gonna do Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I'm not gonna do Justin Fields or Trey Lance because they're not starting.
How many completions did Lance? Well, Lance had a passing touchdown. That's why I was gonna include him. How many completions did Lance have?
I want to say
I didn't look at the Niner stat sheets.
I want to say he had 4.
Okay, then we can leave them off. So let's just do the 3 that are sitting in the AFC? They're all in the AFC, right?
All in the AFC.
So Trevor Lawrence.
Actually, Trey Lance had one completion. Like, literally one throw, like a
that was the one pass? I thought he was in there more.
Nope.
One pass, three rushes.
So him and Justin were the same.
Basically.
Right. So they're incompletes. Trevor Lawrence was just boo-boo, 3 interceptions against the Texans. Good fucking God. Zach Wilson, I think he showed some flashes of decency. It's week 1. So, like, you can't really, like, decipher him too
much. Sam Darnold was stunned on them hoes.
He really was. I believe Mac Jones even got himself a touchdown.
Mac Jones?
God, I know that bald motherfucker was just itching to draft him.
Matt Jones, he looked like.
Could you imagine if it was Matt Jones they're trying to sell us on? I think Matt Jones is going to be decent just because he's with Belichick, but imagine he's with us. Oh my God.
He'd be better than Andy Dalton.
I
say that objectively. He would be better than Andy Dalton.
He would. That's a fact. He would.
Andy Dalton had the second lowest yards per air average out of any quarterback last week with 4. 4.4 yards thrown. Come on now.
Mac Jones has
7, which is around.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad. I mean, shoot. The Bears were the only team outside the Falcons to not have a pass of 20 yards or more. But you know, it's not 7 and a half.
I don't want to wax poetic for too long in the Bears because we got to
get 7 and a half. Yeah, we got to keep saying that every podcast we have during the football season. Like 7
and a half. Exactly, man. So let's rank Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, 1 through 3. What would you guys rank their performances in week 1?
Mac Jones is number 1.
I would agree on that.
Yeah, I go Mac number 1.
Or nigga, I'm going, nigga, shut up. Mac Jones number 1. Also, his pocket presence was, you know, they kept a clean pocket, but his pocket presence was good. He didn't force throws that did not need to be forced, but when there was a play to be made, the play was made. I think he is the perfect person for Bill Belichick. You know, like there is not a better fit for him. There, you know, you had the more athletic person in Cam Newton and probably a stronger arm, but it didn't matter if the decision
there might not have been a better quarterback coach fit in draft. Like,
yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. So he would go number one. Number two, I would go Zach Wilson. He just has an arm, man. He knows how to zip in passes. He looks like a pro. Had the pick, but you know, Trevor Lawrence would be number three. That nigga look doo-doo to me. I mean, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, you're Jay Cutler, and you're expecting really more. And Trevor Lawrence says, I'm pretty sure they said never threw three interceptions in a game before.
He never lost a game before.
No, he's lost a game before.
Oh, no, sorry, he lost a game. What am I talking about?
We whooped that ass before.
Yeah.
We spanked
him. That's right. He lost twice. What was the stat that I saw? Oh, Trevor Lawrence hasn't done this since like before high school. I forgot, but I guess the thing with Trevor Lawrence to me is like, you've had the legend of John Henry's hammer since high school and you come into the league.
He's had the greatest skill players at every level.
That too. But they gave you a softball week one, man. They gave you the Texans, not the Deshaun Watson Texans, not the inmate number four Texans. They give you Tyrod Taylor.
The Tyrod Taylor Texans, dog.
And you got blown out by the Tyrod Taylor Texans.
I will say Tyrod was dicing them up, though.
His offense looks better than 1920 football drive. We'll continue.
God, come on, man.
Yeah, and here's what I'll say.
I'm just saying. Take care.
Trevor Lawrence running some, you know, he ran a few bootlegs and made beautiful throws of defenders. He has a talent, and I think I'm leaning more. So that's why Andy Dalton made a really good quote in preseason that stuck with me that said, I've had games where, you know, I've had preseason where we were on fire, then sucked. And I had preseason where we sucked and we were on fire in the season. And I had we sucked both in and sucked on both ends and on fire on both ends. So I never wanted to look too much into it, but I will say Zach Wilson is the same quarterback in preseason that I saw. He's still good. Trevor Lawrence looked a little bit more confident. He threw them picks, but he was awful confident enough to keep throwing. I will say that Urban Meyer is getting an introduction to a nigga you can't recruit, nigga.
Yeah,
you can recruit all you want. It's about money. And it's funny. He's like,
the second the USC job opened up, I looked towards Jacksonville and was like, so how much time you got, bro?
You might leave like Nick Saban. Good luck. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, you know, I'm gonna give me 30 seconds to briefly rant on why college football needs to it needs to put a tighter grip on this recruitment.
The floor is yours.
Right, 30 seconds. The 2 minutes starts now.
They need to do a tighter grip on recruiting because they need to increase competition. When Urban Meyer said that quote about how college recruitment was better, it's true. Because if you get an offer from Ohio State versus Miami, Ohio, which one are you going to?
You know.
You're going to go to Ohio State.
Especially if you can't get in Ohio State. Like, make that clear. Especially if these kids can't get into these fucking schools to begin with, they're going to go out of state.
But what I will say, in addition to change recruiting, the NIL, these contracts have made it a lot better because now players are thinking, I'm going to go to Ohio State, but I'm going to be playing against 3 other great QBs. Why do that when I can start in Miami, Ohio, and have bank? I forgot which college player just signed a $1 million contract for the NIL. I forgot who it was.
You did. Nkosi Perry has a pretty good NIL deal.
You know what I'm saying? Nkosi
Perry from Miami.
Yeah, and so I think not only was it, you know, it's fair and you're not working them like slaves, but I do think that this enables them to say, I want to stand out on teams rather than just being on a stellar team. I think in the long run, Alabama will be evened out. Right now, they're still the GOATs. Right now, they will be evened out. But I will say that recruitment needs to be limited more so you open up more competition. It's just better for the game. I can tell you how many, if you look like people say, oh, man, college football Saturday. Yeah, it's great, but most of them are in the background for me. Why? Because they're blowouts. Now, of course, I had to watch Ohio State get torched, but most of them are blowouts. Alabama, 62-0.
And now they're going to be in the El Pollo Loco Bowl.
They may, once again, when we won in 2016, we had a loss. Who knows? More than likely, no, because...
Right, the Virginia Tech loss? Yeah, I thought you were done after the Virginia Tech loss.
So. That was Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech wasn't ranked. So they had no business. Right. We had no business losing to them. And Ohio State, we have a bias with the CFP. They will put Ohio State in, and by all means, necessary.
Instantly, because they got to have a Big Ten team. Do you think they can put Iowa in? Unless Iowa's undefeated. Fuck no.
You know what I'm saying? And so And now, of course, you know, it's Quinn Ewers and all that, blah, blah, blah. But I will say they need to strengthen and they need to limit recruiting. So you open it up, because I think the NFL provides a good example of why drafting is so much better. It's not that you're rewarding a garbage team, but you're just trying to bring that competition level up. And if the college football expands that playoff to past 12 teams, then losses won't be as bad. You'll deal with a loss like a professional would. College football is the only institution that if you lose one game, it's like, man, I might not make the playoffs. It doesn't happen anywhere else. The greatest teams in Chicagoland, Mount Carmel, St. Rita, Phillips, they lose one game, nigga, they're still going to the playoffs. Like, they may have a lower seed, but they're still going to get a chance.
They can lose four games and go.
They lose four or five. They're teams who win 5-5, 6-6.
Bad stretch, and then they can just run the table. So,
you know what I'm saying? And so I think college football needs to go in that direction and expand the playoffs easily. And, you know, maybe open up to the Power Five winners of their conference automatically get in, and then you strengthen up. You'll see some stupid upsets. They'll just be better. But, yeah. But this was an introduction to the – welcome to the NFL for Trevor Lawrence. But there was a lot better. I think Jaguars fans can hang their heads on hope more than Bears fans can, but that's another story.
Well,
not 7-9 to Hollis.
It looks like Urban Meyer is going to fake a heart attack soon and go to USC from what Michael Lombardi was saying on Pat McAfee today.
Yeah, it seems like it. Browns played the Chiefs so well that I believe in them as a Super Bowl championship potential now.
There's two things I took.
They just couldn't close.
There's two things I took from that game. One, they were right there, but in the words of the I can't even say all that yet. This because you got to play damn near a perfect brand of football to beat Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not saying the Chiefs. I'm gonna say to beat Patrick Mahomes because that defense is still not
that
granted.
That defense doo doo. And
Let me
cut you off. That was wrong. My fault.
But now, granted, I don't think the defense is good at all, but their captain was not out there, which is Honey Badger. That's right. When I say that you need to play a perfect game to beat Patrick Mahomes, because he can outscore you, which is why I'm not gonna go to the Bears again. Never mind. Stay on course, Scott.
We are scarred right now, bro.
But yeah. So like one thing to like, okay, they were close, but I don't know if the Browns have the ability to play a complete game against this team, you know. And everybody's like, oh, they were in it. In the words of Lamar Park legend, Moesha. Almost don't count, nigga. I just don't know if I can trust Baker down the stretch. Whether now for them to beat them, I'll say that it is imperative if they have any chance of beating the Chiefs for that game to be in Cleveland. They can't go into Kansas City and beat them. You know, when you have them down.
I don't think so either.
And I think they panicked too. That fake punt, you gave them the game. You can't give an assassin a loaded gun. You know what I'm saying? Put them as far back into their own end zone as possible. And even that still might not matter, but don't give it to them right there, like the 15. It was like a 10-yard pass to Travis Kelce, game over. So I think one thing that showed me was they're close, but I still don't think I have faith in Baker to actually take them over that hump.
But here's why
I
want to get the Browns some reprieve real quick, because while they did not close, they have 17 more weeks of the season to learn how to close. And I think this is less on the Browns not closing and more on the Chiefs being so dominant in September. Andy Reid is 16-8 in week one in his time as a head coach with the Eagles and with the Chiefs. Have you seen how Patrick Mahomes is just balling in the month of September? He's 11-0. He's got 35 touchdowns, zero interceptions. He's averaging over 330 yards a game in the month of September. So when the season starts, man, it's just lights out. I don't think that I can fade the Browns too much for not being able to close, because like you said, they're in Kansas City. If the Browns want to win that football game come January, they're going to have home field and they're going to have to do it in Cleveland. I very much think that they can do that. With Kansas City's offensive line, I got to see them in the back half of the season to really know how to feel about them in the playoffs. Still too scarred from the Super Bowl, and they played like just complete fucking garbage against a terrific front four for Cleveland. So, you know, I was on the fence going into Sunday. Now I'm like, okay, I can see you guys as contenders. I can put you up against the Bills, and the Bills took a little bit of hit. I want to talk about that in a bit. I can see you up there with the Chiefs as potential AFC contenders. They just got to learn how to close over the next 17 weeks, and shit, they got a lot of opportunity to do that.
I will say that I am. There are certain points in time where Baker can do some goofy shit, you know, when he's throwing, you know, because that was just goofy. I don't know if he was set thinking, we can't take a sack, I'm going to throw this out of bounds, and did not put enough air on it. You know, my thoughts are, when you're throwing out of bounds and you have heavy pressure, launch it into the stands, you know what I'm saying, and just have them throw it back. You can easily have it happen. Just launch it to the stands. Because in that zone, there's nothing for you to think that you can get it over. You can get it to your receiver. He's draped in double coverage. It was just a stupid pick. I will say that the Chiefs are not unbeatable. Of course, as you've seen, that Buccaneers destroyed them in the Super Bowl. And I think, but I still think that the Chiefs, one of their biggest problems is they're cocky. They are very, very cocky, you know. Yes. And almost as if, you know, they thought that they ran away with the Super Bowl win that they had. They were literally a better Jimmy Garoppolo pass from losing that Super Bowl.
That's the part I'm not irritated about. You won. I don't care how you won. I'm irritated that you talking shit off getting your ass kicked in this last Super Bowl.
You got destroyed. The Buccaneers, obviously, the only team I've seen just completely shut down Pat Mahomes. I mean, even Tyreek Hill. They knew how to contain Tyreek Hill. As you've seen, if Tyreek Hill has open space, you're not going
to
catch him.
And so, to your point, I don't know if y'all watched. I watch America's game every time a new champion's out. But on this one, I think it was who's the linebacker? What's my man?
Devin White
was like, he remembered when KC kicked their ass in Tampa at the regular season. Yeah, and Tyreek did the Shannon Sharp. Yeah, they need some help. Come get him right now. He said, we thought about that. For 12 weeks. He said, we thought about that shit for 12 weeks. When the Super Bowl came and they was kicking ass, Devin White did the same thing. He said, we remember that. We remember that all week. Yeah. So that shit talking can't get
because Antoine Winfield who did the deuces on him in front of
right.
F.O. for Junior. He was.
Doesn't Antoine Winfield look like Derwin Ding Dong Davis?
He does.
He do.
But the Chiefs have a cockiness for no reason. And it's just going to end up, they're going to end up losing again because. Like I said, you are a better Jimmy Garoppolo pass away from losing the first Super Bowl. But of course, you can't say almost doesn't count. But just to know, like, it's not like you ran away with these games. And
Pat hasn't played well in any Super Bowl.
No. You know what I'm saying? And if there is a better defensive performance from the Cleveland Browns, then they would have secured that game and won that game. But it's like I'm saying, whenever you leave Tyreek Hill on an island, I don't know what you expect to do. Who in the world is going to keep up with him? It just doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. We got a wild Monday Night Football game to open the season. It was the very first time we've had fans in the stands at an NFL game in Las Vegas. It was loud as shit. There was a lot of Ravens fans here, too. I saw them up and down since at least last Wednesday. It's going to be exciting to see how football is in Vegas. I hate that I'm going to be leaving the week that the Bears are in town. It might be for the best. I don't know. But with week one, that was just a crazy fucking game. There's so much to kind of get on this game. But I just want to say, Derek Carr better thank his lucky stars for what's my man's? I'm coming out. What's my man's? Forgot his fucking name. He better thank him. I got Max Crosby, Carl Nassib. He better thank his lucky stars for Carl Nassib for getting that strip sack on.
Nigga said he put a period.
He gave him a second chance.
Nigga said he put a period on the game.
Hey, he came to play. That's all that matters. Yeah. Carl Nassib came to play yesterday. But he better thank his lucky stars for him because getting that strip sack gave Derek Carr a second chance after the most Derek Carr interception that ever fucking happened.
And we all saw that come.
The second that false start happened, I'm like, everybody saw that come. Shit happening. It's total Raiders.
Is there room on Gruden's coaching staff for Matthew Nagy Nation?
We might have to clear some space for a new offensive coordinator. Take Andy Dalton.
I think Matt Nagy needs an assistant's job after this season. I don't think he deserves it to be anybody's offensive
coordinator. He needs a quality control job. He needs to do what Tom Herman's doing. Go do what Steve Sarkisian's doing. Go to Alabama. Get the fuck out of here. But anyway, fuck Matt Nagy. What'd you guys think of Monday Night Football? What'd you guys think of Vegas?
I thought, first of all, there's two things. I remember a couple weeks ago, during the summer when the news came out that the Bears were trying to move to Arlington, I was so anti, don't do it. Bears need to be in Chicago. Fuck Arlington, yep. Blah, blah, blah. But nigga, what I saw this weekend at SoFi and what I saw at Elegant Stadium, is that how you pronounce it? Elegant?
Allegiant
Stadium.
That boy said elegant.
I don't know. I don't know how to spell.
Listen, it's okay. He don't fly budget airlines.
Yeah, Allegiant Stadium.
Allegiant.
Allegiant Stadium is SoFi Stadium.
Did Floyd Mayweather take over your body, man?
All right, man, relax. Allegiant Stadium and SoFi Stadium looked fucking gorgeous. Looked like two state-of-the-art, you know, modern era type football stadium. I just love how it looked. The crowd looked amazing. You could tell that Raider fans, everybody was like, oh, it's gonna take away from real Raider fans. I was like, no, real Raider fans will make that drive. Oakland's not far. LA's not that far. They will make that drive. And it's fucking Vegas. Even if you don't live in Oakland or LA, everybody will fly to Vegas for a weekend.
This is the thing that people don't understand about the Raiders. Not the Las Vegas Raiders, but the Raiders. Yeah, is the Raiders are a premier franchise in the NFL. Yeah. There might be a step below the Cowboys, but when you think premier franchise, you think of 49ers, you think of New York Giants, you think of Chicago Bears, you think in the Raiders. And it doesn't matter the home of the Raiders, those fans are fucking nuts and they travel. And
like it's
everywhere.
A brand. What Denzel said, it's a brand name. Pepsi. It's
I was
a
literally
brand
just
name.
Gonna say that same thing.
But I just love how the whole atmosphere felt. It looked amazing, and the Bears need to say,
it's a gorgeous stadium from the inside, man. It's fucking nice from the inside.
The Bears need to say, fuck Lori Lightfoot and get that new
stadium.
They
really do need to. Lori did a lot of fuck shit when it comes to that stadium. Listen, I hate having to drive all the way from the south side out to Arlington Heights, but guess what? I don't live in Chicago.
Yeah,
I ain't got to make that drive.
Man, I drive enough just to hear an interview from them niggas. I don't even care anymore.
Right, you gotta go fucking.
I drive an hour to hear Matt Nagy talk about nothing. I will gladly go. Are you watching the Cubs, sir?
Champions League soccer.
Come on now, you know if Pierce gave up on them niggas a long time ago.
Yeah, you know I don't play with them niggas, bro.
but yeah. So
it's gonna be Bryce Harper time in about 3 weeks. What you mean?
Oh yeah, forgot you. Yeah. Okay, do you want to make the announcement on air?
We're gonna
hold off a little bit. Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah,
but continue, Joe. What you?
I'm not sure what's going on here.
Yes, you do. We told you already.
Related to Pierce?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay, but what are you saying about you drive an hour to see Matt Nagy say bullshit?
Yeah, I drive an hour to hear him say garbage. You know what I'm saying? And I think I've learned. As we're doing this as an independent brand, which I just want to say, I'm so proud of all of you all. I'm so proud of what we've done and what we've achieved. I'm proud of us. We are literally.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us. We're literally a dynamic trio, and I'm so proud of the progress we've made. But as I'm going, you know, Tyler Sauer, I'm hearing him talk about nothing. I realize as a journalist, it's okay to realize this dude's an idiot. Matt's a nice guy. Everybody likes him personality-wise. There are several coaches where the reporters hated them, like personally, and did not like them. Matt's a nice guy, but who cares? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't matter. I forgot, it was Big Cat. Big Cat tweeted, why is the national media holding water for Matt Nagy? He's like, oh, I forgot. He's a nice guy, too. Like, you have to put that
Big
out
Cat
there.
James Williams or Barstool Big Cat?
Barstool Big Cat. Wow. And I realized that that's not important when it comes to the job that you're doing. If you hire an employee and you can love them to death, if they're terrible, you got to let them go. And so the move to Arlington Heights would symbolize the Bears actually caring about the franchise and what it means to be a premier and charter team, which I think they will do. The Bears can make some financial moves with ease. Hallis Hall is beautiful. Beautiful grounds, beautiful fields. And Lori Lightfoot, first of all, you're not going to mess with a white Chicagoan family that's been there longer than you ever been. They're going to sink their teeth in, and they're going to go to Arlington Heights with or without you. I just hope the Bears can somehow get out there. I think to get out there at least is like $4 million. What's $4 million to a billion-dollar franchise?
They print fucking $4
million. Please remind me.
You know, people are like, oh, man, the stadium costs $1 billion. Do you not realize that's going to be footed by Arlington Hills and by the state of Illinois? It's not like they putting up all that money for the stadium themselves. The same with the Cowboys, same with SoFi. But the way you're seeing these stadiums and the revenue they bring in from the total experience, like SoFi is 70,000 capacity, but can be expanded to 100,000. Bro, like that's crazy. Soldier Field is dirt. It's booty chatter, booty water. It's garbage. You know what I'm saying? It has a lot of history, I guess.
Soldier Field worse than what the Coliseum was, what the Rams had. And the Coliseum's a fucking dump.
I'm not going to go that far.
You can't say that about the Coliseum.
Bro. Yeah. The Coliseum's a dump.
I'm not going to say Soldier Field's worse than the Coliseum. That's too much.
Okay. All right. I hate Soldier Field, but anyway, continue.
But that was my point. The Bears need to. It's not selling out to Hallis, but I think it would be a good opportunity for them to move forward. And as a Bears fan, if I travel an hour to hear an interview, I'm not gonna mind traveling 45 minutes to go to the game. So you know,
and it's gonna be more stuff around there. You know, they'll build them like a little.
It's gonna Bears be a campus. Town. It's gonna be a
campus. Mm-hmm. We can finally have a Bears Ring of Honor, which they should have had a long fucking time ago.
All right, let's not say that, Hallis. Let's move on.
Okay, you're right. Let's go to Monday Night Football. Let's go to Monday Night Football. I enjoyed the game. Derek Carr is huff. John Gruden has very bad play calls, and Lamar Jackson turned the ball over twice.
What was that?
Is that your Lamar rapid Jackson fire?
Turned the football over twice. This is my rapid fire.
Sorry. Oh, wait. Why are you focusing on Lamar Jackson?
Why
didn't you focus on why the defense was Swiss cheese? Why didn't you focus on quote unquote top five cornerback Marlon Humphrey getting burned on two big plays?
I'm just naming out points for the game.
I mean, I feel like Lamar Jackson did a really good job at putting the Ravens in position to win. The Ravens just didn't close, you know. There's nothing you could do when Derek Carr is throwing for 400 plus yards. And by the way, he's got weapons. Like, we can say whatever we want about Derek Carr. I'm still like,
you got weapons.
Waller to me.
Waller is a weapons. Fantastic tight end.
Waller's number two in the league behind Kelsey when he's all about tight ends.
Yeah. I'm not over here. I think Derek Carr is mid. No,
he's trash. But
he's mid. But like, you can make mid look kind of sexy when you got a number two tight end in the league. If Ruggs can catch the fucking football, that's all I ask. He can burn you. And then the kid Bryan Edwards turned on late in the game and he looked pretty decent. Josh Jacobs had a really good game. Hey, they're still a 7-10 team to me. But
I will say, I think the Ravens will be better once Lamar is throwing to Allen Robinson next year.
Come on, man. Why are you?
That's going to really improve.
Do you think Lamar needs a star receiver to save him, sir?
No, I'm not saying he needs a star receiver. Say, but let's be real. He got some bum ass niggas he's throwing to. Yeah, it's the first. Everybody thinks I hate Lamar.
Hollywood Brown, man.
I don't hate Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar Jackson.
I feel like we're just doing a bit now. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's a running bit, like Stu got saying that none of Kevin Durant's rings count. It's one of those types.
I mean, you may hate black quarterbacks. I don't know. You may have some prejudice against dark skin quarterbacks.
It's an enjoyable bit. But for all people who are new followers of my Twitter, who saw y'all tweet me the Clayton Bixby shit last night, and the niggas said me and Joe the Hodge twins, like, so that.
Wait, what? I have done nothing wrong.
You just see Isaiah's tweet.
Y'all are the all right twins.
Bro, don't ever. Oh no, Isaiah got to see me now.
No, because remember you tweeted the video of the cop, the lady cop who was trying to twerk in front of the screen, and Joe, and he was like, "Do you hate black women, my brother?"
Oh,
yeah. So then niggas said we was the Hodge twins. But so like people who listen to the podcast, who follow us, they know the running joke. For everybody who's new to this, because last week's episode got over 2,000 listeners. I forgot to tweet the shit out. So obviously there's new ears listening to us. I do not hate Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's one of the best playmakers in the league. I also think he's a top five quarterback in the league. I just don't think he has elite.
I just don't think black boys should be playing QB.
I just don't think he has elite level throws that can take.
But you know that Justin Ravens. Fields, he's a good knee, bro.
One of the good ones.
He doesn't have elite level throws.
Lamar Jackson's in trouble with that Kodak block. We gotta keep going. Bills had a really good first half against the Steelers, and then it completely cratered.
Did I curse Josh Allen?
I know how to feel about the Steelers. You might have.
I hated on Josh Allen all last year.
You were loving on Josh Allen so much that inmate number 7 in Pittsburgh had to come back and he had to come back.
Even though I think he got saved by
Deontay Johnson.
I can't wait to Claypool.
I can't wait to rape.
Claypool on the catch. Yeah.
I can't wait to rape his number 7 leaves the league, bro. I'm so tired of his game. I can't stand it.
It's so ugly.
He's also a rapist, prehistoric.
It's prehistoric the way he plays football.
Bro, he just moved like he got lug boots on. I don't want to see that, bro. That's another story. Another story for another time.
I just keep thinking of the fucking commercials with Funk Flex 98.
Oh man. Shit.
Oh man. Anything else to say about the Bills? It really just kind of like, I feel like takeaways Bills. Because
I mean, I just say this about the Bills. It's just a one-off. It's a one-off.
Right.
They'll bounce back next week. And I'm not stoned on the Steelers at all. But we all know the Steelers defense is legit. This isn't breaking news on that front, you know. And great job of getting
T.J. Watt locked up.
Yeah, great job of that. And I felt like fucking Rich Eisen last week because that news broke while I was live streaming. I'm not gonna hold you. I definitely felt very important when that news broke. But anyway, the defense is great, but inmate number 7 or you know that criminal, he was huff for a great majority of that game. That's what you're gonna get from him. Restless, he's just old. You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of thing you're going to get from the Bills will be fine. There was nothing I really took from that game.
All I know is the Steelers need to start preparing for life without Ben Roethlisberger, starting with getting a quarterback, you know, because it's not sustainable. You know, I don't think that they'll ever actually go anywhere. I don't think they're ever going to win another title with him there. You know, they always have, they're a good team, but they're just a –
They ain't won one in over a decade now. That was 2009. Last time, you know what I'm saying?
So they're not gonna win with him at the helm. It's time to move on or at least prepare for that contingency. You know what I'm saying? Just me.
Yes, sir. It was a wonderful game in Jacksonville, watching Aaron Rodgers and the Packers stink up the joint, and Jameis Winston throw for 5 tutties on that ass.
Off 148 yards.
Got a good 148 grass. Yards.
He had a good grasp with him.
Got a good grasp.
What did my trainer say? He just told me be prepared.
Yeah. It's like my trainer said yesterday. What my trainer say?
Look on his face that makes it so funny.
Jameis is entering Kawhi unintentionally funny for no damn reason territory. Like Kawhi just do shit and you just fucking laugh. Like Kawhi standing in a way too sexy video and niggas is like, this nigga Kawhi is hilarious. Like that's what Jameis is entering.
I haven't seen Kawhi in the actual video yet.
You gotta watch it. And by the way, everybody who thinks they bit Backstreet Boys, you have no culture.
Really don't.
That was 100% Boys Men when Water Runs Dry. Y'all niggas can get y'all culture up. Anyway, Jameis, he cooked. But I'm still not, you know, everybody's like, oh, I'm not on the Jameis. Jameis does this. This is peak Jameis. Give me 10 games.
Oh, Jameis was never trash. Excuse. Okay.
Give me 10 games before we start saying, oh, the LASIK surgery really helped Jameis. Then we'll get to that. I've seen Jameis drop 4 or 5 touchdowns before.
Pretty sure he dropped 6
before. I think he did
too. Five was his career high.
Okay. But and I wouldn't be shocked if he go out there and throw 3 picks last week. But the story of this game is Aaron Rodgers is a suspect. He is under surveillance.
That nigga is a double agent. He is a widow. The nigga is working.
He spent the majority.
Sabotage the Green Bay Packers, and I love it.
He spent the majority of his summer not focusing on football. I'm sure he's in. I'm not even sure. You know, I don't know what his football shape is, and I won't speculate. But he spent the majority of summer focusing on other things. I'm not shocked to see him not have the. The game speed, either. You know what I'm saying? The game speed or those certain intangibles that you develop from reps. I'm not shocked to see him have that. And I'm assuming he'll bounce back, but I don't think it's purposely. It's just Them niggas spend his time doing Jeopardy and hanging with Shailene Woodley. So nigga ain't paying attention to none of that. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that,
Margaritaville on the beach and shit.
And on top of that, there was a moment where he did not, he was not going to come back. You know, was certain that he was not going to come back. And so I wouldn't be, I'm not shocked to see this happen, you know, but I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, I guess, you know, question short term is like, what's his interest in football? What's his interest in playing for the Packers? But like, yeah, you're right. He took a whole summer off to just like detach from football. And he kind of has to get himself back in a football mode and back in a football space. He got a good opponent to do again Monday night against the Lions.
I will say this about Aaron. Of course, it's all jokes. I don't really believe he's sabotaging the Packers, even though that would be awesome. I just think, like, I just don't know how much he cares, though. Like, I won't say he sabotaged, but what's his care level for this season? You know what I'm saying? And I do think, yeah, they got the Lions coming up this week. That should be an easy bounce back W. But they got a pretty tough schedule, too. We play the same divisions as they do. And Michael Lombardi hit the nail on the head today. Yeah, Michael Lombardi hit the nail on the head today on Pat McAfee. He said they had 1 for 10 on first downs. He said whenever in the LaFleur era, whenever they go up against an actual team that's worth a damn, who, you know, who has either a great coach or a contender, they don't come to play. We've seen that against Sean Payton. We've seen that all last year. We've seen that the last 2 years since LaFleur has been. They do not step up to the plate. And honestly, they get embarrassed. It's not like any of these games are close. They get embarrassed every time they go up against an actual heavyweight. And that's something we need to pay attention to. And I know Aaron knows that. You know, I've seen none of us, you know, I think outside of Packer fans, Bears fans watch Aaron Rodgers close. We know when Aaron Rodgers is trying. It didn't look like Aaron Rodgers gave a fuck. What was that on that 4th and 2 that he threw to Devontae? That nigga looked like, nigga, I'm trying to go home. Like, he looked like he just legit didn't care. And then he went up there like, oh, you know,
Jacksonville. Who wants to be in Jacksonville?
Nobody wants to be in Jacksonville. We get to go home, play Detroit next week. Who gives a fuck? So I want to know what his care level is going to be. And if they do get hit like a hard little part of the schedule where they on the 2-3 game losing streak, you know, with the pressure of him and the pressure of Devontae saying he doesn't want to come back, is that going to be the thing that's going to hurt them? Because he knows that he has an out at the end of the season. So that's what I will be looking at more than this game. This game is a write-off, but I just really want to know about what's Rodgers' care level.
Yep. Let's move on. Let's talk about let's go to Tennessee. Yeah, that was,
man, that was surprising.
Fucking something. That was something. I'm not really gonna put too much on the Titans. The offense, this was really just all about two things. One, that Cardinal offense is working, and two, Chandler Jones might have already locked up Defensive Player of the Year.
He showed out.
Pay that fucking man.
He definitely showed out. This is my thing about the Titans defense looked fucking terrible. I think this thing that stood out to me more than anything, Chandler Jones and the Cardinals didn't even let my man Tanner Goten get into a rhythm. It's like once they cut it down, I think they cut it down to like 7 somewhere in the third quarter. Kyler Murray came down, responded right away. So that's something that, you know, I'm not worried. But this is, I feel like this whole week one, all the teams that like were the teams that we were looking at who didn't win, I'm not really panicking with any of these. Like, to me, it was just one of the things where I was more impressed by Arizona than I was disappointed in Tennessee. Right. You know, because Arizona, they got a lot of pressure on them, a lot of pressure, especially on their coach. So.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee is going to be hard coming up this upcoming week because they got a really good opponent in Seattle on the road. They would love to have this game. You know, they came out and they got outplayed by Arizona. I think this is kind of a sign that, like, yo, those four teams in the NFC West are coming to play. And, you know, I don't think anybody in that division – it's going to be hard to see, like, anyone from that division not making the playoffs.
Yeah,
we might have the first first time that all four teams in the division make playoffs because they're all talented. I think Arizona's probably the worst of the four still, but you know, Watt looked a little bit rejuvenated, and then when you got Chandler Jones on the other side just causing havoc.
He looked incredible, man.
Simmons was really good as a little hybrid middle linebacker, strong safety type. Buda Baker looked decent, like. I'm not saying the Cardinals are going to be like a watch out for the Arizona Cardinals, but it was a promising week. When you got a lot of talent on the board like Arizona got, it's a promising week one. I guess for me, it's like, okay, Cliff Kingsbury, show me something. It's year three.
He has to show him something like that. I think out of all the teams, to me in the NFC West, the two most pressure teams that has most pressure right now is Seattle and Arizona. Arizona, obviously, because Kingsbury, it's your third year. You got to make something shake. You didn't make the playoffs last year after, you know, starting off so high. And then also so Seattle, too, because I still don't think the things are good between Russ and Pete Carroll. I think that's something that went to the
back. You know what just popped into my head, and you probably aren't even like hit to everything with USC and Pete Carroll and why he left. Knowing that that is out there, that job, and knowing that, you know, Pete Carroll with Russell Wilson, with Seattle management, like there's got to be some restless feeling there.
Yeah,
the fact that they haven't won since 2013, they should have won a year after. They haven't made it back to the NFC Championship game with really talented teams. Russ has always had that drop off the second half of the season. That I'm just wondering if you know, everything in Southern California is kind of subsided by the wayside, and that a marriage between Pete Carroll and USC would be a possible. Joe's not here, so Joe can't like, you know, feed off of that. That just popped into my head. Is if, you know, what are the possibilities that Pete Carroll could go back to USC after this?
Yeah, that's actually a point I didn't think about. The USC job, I feel like, is a big thing that's going to be luring coaches that might have some questions in the league right now. But I just, it's really going to come down to ownership. Like, if this season goes off the hinges, or even if, let's say, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. We all know that. So at the end of the season, it's going to come down to management. It's either going to have to be Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson, because there's still some friction there. And then it went to the back burner because I think two things. One, actually three things. Deshaun Watson's case, the Bears actually going to get Justin Fields, and then the Aaron Rodgers drama with the Packers. That kind of overshadowed that this thing isn't over between them. So there's a lot of pressure on that team to go out there and, you know, and deliver, because then it's going to come down to, okay, who you choosing, the quarterback or the coach? And if I'm the owner of the Seattle Seahawks, that's a no fucking brainer.
Russell Wilson's don't grow on trees, man.
Yeah, they don't. I think
in the 70s. Let him go.
Right. I let Pete walk. You had a great decade here. He did better than a lot of people thought. A lot of people didn't think you would do well in the second go around within the NFL. So that's going to be something to pay attention to.
Yeah. Joe isn't here, but we got to do picks for week two. We start with Thursday Night Football.
I just want to say, before we get to
Washington, take on a football team. Go ahead.
Before we get to that, my predictions last week, I went 7-9. Not a good week for me.
You went Jeff Fisher.
I went Jeff Fisher. I was writing that down because I'm going to do my pick count on the show. But yeah, Thursday Night Football, Washington football team versus the Giants. I'm going to go with the Washington football team. Now, it is Taylor Heineke season. If the Bears had a brain, they'd trade him Andy Dalton or call Cam Newton if I was Washington. But because Fitz is on the IR. Of course it's not. Fitz is on the IR because of an old friend alert, Charles Leno Jr., who left him out for dead. So it's Tyler Heineke senior season. I don't have much faith in Heineke. I think he's done good in the little spurts that we've seen him in, but now people get the game plan for him. But the Giants are just so fucking bad. Like, they have offensively, as far as their quarterback. I think the defense has promise. I think Saquon, once he gets to a rhythm, he'll get back there. He has some decent receivers. But Daniel Jones is fucking terrible. Like, I'm glad that, shout out to the homie Mariano, has finally clicked to him. Like, well, we've been telling him for years, this nigga's not it. 40 turnovers in 28 career starts is an egregious number. So I'm going to go with Washington on Thursday night.
I did not know that. That's bad. I'm going with Washington too. I think the defense knows that Daniel Jones is trash, and they're just going to be like, yo, pass the ball. Yeah. We're not going to worry about you. We're going to focus on shutting down Saquon. You can, you know, take whatever kind of dink and dunk that you want to on our defense. You're not going to be able to do any kind of damage. And, you know, I think Washington's upset because they feel like that should have been a win the other day against the Chargers, and the fact that they did not have the quarterback to win that football game. This is your first home game of the season. Go out there and eat on the Giants. So I think they're going to beat the Giants. I think it's going to be I think the spread is like 3. He'll cover that. Let's keep it going. We got the Raiders going on the road. They will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh.
I'm going with Pittsburgh. Like we were saying, Derek Carr's mid. There's nothing I really saw from that Raiders game yesterday that made me think this is a team that's going to win a lot of games. I think the play calling was atrocious. Like I said, it looked real Nagy-esque. I can't believe they gave John Gruden a 10-year contract. Steelers, that even if we get the regular hot and cold Ben, that defense will really give some damage to Derek Carr. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
I don't know where to go on this one. Spread opened at 5.5. It's still at 5.5. I can very well see the Raiders pulling off upset on the road. I do think that Pittsburgh.
All right, what are we talking about? Good.
We're going through picks. Did you have a nice shit?
Yes, it was great. Thank you for letting everybody know.
Okay. You were gone for a minute. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was disgusting. We all knew what you were doing.
Just to rewind, Giants versus the football team Thursday night.
Who's playing?
Giants versus Washington.
Giants, I guess.
Taylor Heineke versus Danny
Dimes.
40 turnovers and 28 career starts. You rolling with that guy?
It is Taylor Heineke, though. I'm just grabbing at straws here.
But I trust that Redskins, not Redskins, team defense more than I do with the Giants.
It's the defense. I'll probably go with them. Go with the
Washington team. Now we're on Raiders and Steelers. I think the Raiders might be able to shock some folks, but I'm going to take the Steelers. But I do think the Ravens cover.
I'm going to go with the Steelers. I'm with the Steelers.
We got 2 bum bowls out of the AFC East. This should be fun. Let's start with the one that's going to be happening in MetLife. We got the Patriots taking on the Jets. Zach Wilson versus Mac Jones.
Zach Wilson versus Matt Jones. This is going to be the Patriots going to win this. I think the Patriots played well enough to win this past Sunday. But that's just Miami's a good team. It's just Miami doesn't really have a quarterback situation. But with the Jets are a bad team. I think that defense is going to feast on Zach Wilson. I'm going to go with the Patriots. Nice bounce back game for the Patriots this week.
I'll do the Patriots. Did they lose the last game?
Yeah, they lost.
I need to pay attention. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Sorry, my computer freeze, but I'm all good. Let's go now to Jacksonville. Jacksonville looks to rebound. They welcome Teddy Bridgewater and Denver Broncos, who look pretty decent.
They look
pretty decent. It was the Giants, but they look pretty decent.
But this is the thing. It's Theodore Midwater, as I like to call him. This is who he is. He looks great one week. He looks bad the next. This is how he is his entire fucking career. Now, we saw the little NFL Films thing
it's the Jaguars, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm picking them to win the game, by the way. I'm not saying they're not going to. They're going to beat Jacksonville. But what I'm saying is,
he's going to be like, yo, Teddy's playing well against bums, right? Teddy is Dylan Cease. He's a bum slayer.
Oh, Dylan Cease has gotten much better. But anyway, I would say
you called him that though. I did.
But he shut me the fuck up since All-Star break. I cannot lie.
200 strikeouts, right?
He has shut me the entire up since All-Star break. But I would say, yes, I got them beating Jacksonville. But there was a clip I saw on the NFL Instagram. It was like you could see Von Miller talking to some player on the Bronco. I don't know who the fuck it was. He's talking to Teddy. He's like, man, I'm gonna be real. I haven't felt like this since 18 was here. And that tells you how bad the Broncos quarterbacks have been since Peyton Manning left.
Yeah, dog. I saw like a spreadsheet of the Broncos quarterbacks since 18 left. It's been a lot of them and they're all terrible.
Yeah.
Let's go to the other AFC East matchup. We got the Bills on the road in Miami. Buffalo's getting 3.5 points. They got to be fucking angry they didn't win that game on Sunday. I don't think the Dolphins are that good. The Dolphins barely got by New England on Sunday. I'm gonna take the Bills. I'm gonna take the Bills to cover.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills. I think the Bills are gonna smack them. I think that they're pissed off from last week. I think that defense is gonna make Tua's life hell. So I'm gonna go with the Bills.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bills. Tua stinks. I have no clue what is. First of all, I had a parlay with this nigga for 13 rush yards. You couldn't give me 13 rush yards.
You know what's shitty is like, yo, I think I went for a couple of rushing yard props for Tua last year, and that's why I'm never going to for a rushing yard prop from Tua ever again.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, and he can move outside of the pocket. He just does it. And I do not understand. Like, he is a pocket passer. Like this last year, Alabama, he had like 17 rushing yards or something crazy like that. You know what I'm saying? He beat it out. He only ran 23 times. Year before 190. So I don't know why I'm shocked that he doesn't take off and run sometimes, but sometimes he need to take off and run. But it's the fact that he never has developed that pro mindset of knowing how to accurately deal with his packages and schemes that the defense is dealing with, or knowing when to take risk and when not to take risk. He stinks. Let's just keep it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a good person.
And no scrubs. I can smell him a mile away.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm going with the Bills.
We got the 49ers getting 4 points in Philadelphia, taking on the Eagles. I think Jalen Hurts looked pretty good, although, like, Falcons are just ass. Yeah. I'm going to go with the upset.
I'm going to go with the Philly? Eagles. Okay. I thought Jalen looked good. You going with the Eagles?
I am fading Jimmy Garoppolo, man. This is a complete fade of Jimmy Garoppolo on the road. This is their second straight week going on the road to an East Coast team in that early start. I feel like the Eagles could catch him.
I'm going with the Niners, man. I thought Jalen was good, but it's the fucking Falcons, man. I'm going with the Niners.
If you want to do the flip side, do you see what the 49ers Detroit. Let the fucking Detroit Lions did last
true.
Week?
This is true.
Big ass lead.
This is true, but I also feel like they will bounce back from that, and they'll focus more on finishing the game.
Sure about that?
Yeah, I do.
John Cena, you sure about that? Let's now go to Indianapolis. They fell last week to the Seahawks. It don't get any better as they got to welcome another NFC West team in the LA Rams. I believe the Rams are favored in this game.
They should
4 be. 4 points. 4 point favorites.
I will pick the Rams. I will just say I was not impressed by the Rams on Sunday. This is not a salty take, but they should have whooped our ass by way more than what they did. I still think Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford. I think he's a good quarterback, nothing more. You know, niggas out here talking about him like he Montana. I think the Colts defense will be good enough to make it close, but I do think the Rams will win.
I'm gonna go Rams.
I think Stafford throws a couple picks though.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked either. I'm gonna go the Rams, but like, okay, it's not that I wasn't impressed by the Rams. I think the Rams are gonna be a really good team. Like 34 points is exactly what they should have put up on
there. Yeah, I mean, they'll be a really good team, but niggas is talking about them like they're gonna be in the Super Bowl. I don't agree with that at all.
I think that like there needs to be some leveling in terms of like the way we talk about Matt Stafford since the Rams traded for him and the potential that he has with the Rams versus who Matt Stafford's always been. We kind of need to level the two out to find a perfect medium for what we think that his ceiling is with the Rams without lying about who he always has been. But
I agree.
Got to keep going. Houston is in Cleveland. I think I took this at 13.5. It might be a lot higher.
It's going to be higher than that. Take the over.
I took it at 12. It's at 12.5. So, yeah.
Bang. Browns going to kick the fuck out of Tennessee.
They probably pissed too from
the angry
game.
Browns yeah. team they pissed off. At home with fans who are rabid for the first time in forever.
In 2 years,
Super Bowl contenders.
They going to kick the shit out the Texans.
That's right. They weren't. The Brown fans weren't. No, I think they were.
It was a little bit of them. It was a little bit of them. Yeah, but it wasn't the dog pound. It wasn't the dog pound. You know, so they're gonna kick the shit out the Texans, bro. Like,
and they're relevant for the first time in forever, man. Like Tyrod, God bless.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Nick Miles Garrett gonna do some nasty things to Tyrod Taylor next week.
Oh.
Where she go down New first? Orleans.
New Orleans is in Carolina. So I'm just assuming that you're going with the Browns.
Of course.
Yeah. New Orleans is in Carolina getting 3.5 points against the Panthers. I'm going to go with the Saints.
Yeah, Saints. Definitely. Definitely Saints. Jameis is going to throw a couple picks, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Who have we got now? Oh, we got the GOAT. Tom Brady hosting the Atlanta Falcons.
It's going to be nasty.
I took this at 13. It's at 13. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be nasty, man. Buccaneers are going to beat the
shit. Take that shit. Hammer that shit.
That's good. They had the crib, too. Yeah. Nasty.
Matt Ryan, God bless.
Yeah. Matt Ryan was on the floor. Nigga, Brandon Graham knocked somebody the fuck out. Who the fuck was? Brandon Graham put somebody
in. Boy, no, he put in the ground the dude that was like, yo, if you want to keep your quarterback upright and protected, draft me.
Yeah.
And here he is standing there next to Matt Ryan's lifeless corpse.
Goatee going for another 4 to 5 TDs this week.
Yep. Minnesota is in Arizona.
Minnesota starting off 0-2. They should have won last week.
They are. Kyler Murray finna drop the meat off on them, so.
He gonna be running around like man on that.
Bro, defense. He looked incredible. I don't.
Put it out of your hand. A knife now.
I'm not exaggerating when I say he looked incredible. Some of the throws he was making did not make sense. I said, nigga, what?
Like everybody was talking about Nuke's catch. I was like, fuck the catch. Did you see that throw?
Yeah, goodness. Like one off the back foot, launched in the back of the end zone. Like he just looked great. Like he's dropping some meat off. It's gonna be. What did Big Cat say? Big meaty boys, it's gonna be bad. So we'll see.
Big meaty men dropping meat.
Shout out to Big E.
I wasn't talking about Big E.
I know, but still, shout out to Big E.
I know, yeah.
You want your 30-minute classics? Not me.
Was that his first time winning the championship?
Yeah.
First time winning the WWE championship, yeah.
Titles never changed back in the day, bro. It's so cool that the actual shows in the midweek actually mean something.
Yeah.
Titles never changed back in the day, at least when
they need to do it more. They did it sometimes. The only two times I remember like frequently happening was that series in early 99 when Rock and Mankind was just going back and forth. They traded the title on Raw a couple times. It happened a couple other times in 99, like Triple H won the title on Raw, but always that black bastard in the black trunks. That nigga was always winning the championship on Raw.
It will always be a nigga getting ready to beat Triple H, and then somebody from McMahon Helmsley faction come running out, and he hear the old Triple H music.
Get down, Chris Jericho almost won the title. Yeah.
What's gonna happen next week on SmackDown?
Oh man, Seattle's getting 5.5 points on Tennessee.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot, nigga. That's a lot.
Shit. It's a lot. I feel
who
like
who am I going with this?
I wrote this it opened down. At 3.5 and now it's 5.5. I feel like that's just an overreaction to how the Titans played.
Yeah,
I'm NFL, going with the Titans. On a side note,
I'm gonna go with the Seahawks to win, but Tennessee's got to cover that.
I'm going with the Titans in a very close game.
Very close game, but
you know, I would NFL, want it. I might wait for 6, but
NFL got to stop letting defenders run all the way to the end zone to take a picture after the interception. Enough's enough.
I missed that little fucking screen, man.
Yeah, exactly. They need to go bring the screen back. You know what's funny? I think the Rams were looking for a screen, and they couldn't find that
much. Oh, my God. These Trevor Lawrence picks were bad. These Trevor Lawrence picks were just bad. Goodness gracious. I'm sorry.
Awful. Yeah. The CBS game of the week in Englewood, it is the Chargers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert,
I need to see what the tickets
electric offenses. On that. I mean, it's the Cowboys.
So that, this is true, but it's also the fucking Chargers.
It's the Cowboys. If so there's any, it's the Cowboys. Okay, Cowboy true. Fans will be there.
You're right. You're right. But I will say this: there's any time you want to see SoFi, go doing a Chargers game. Mm-hmm. Those tickets will be lower. Go doing a Chargers game. You go see Jay Herbo.
Is the Chargers stadium built?
They're in the same fucking stadium.
They're sharing SoFi?
Yeah.
That's trash. Yeah.
The Chargers are tenants.
Yeah.
I thought the Chargers were going to make their own stadium.
No.
Nope.
No.
That's garbage.
Blame Dean Spanos.
Yeah, exactly. But you know who's going to be across the street? The Clippers' new stadium that nobody's going to.
The Clippers are the ones that got
the Englewood Clippers.
Bro, nobody's moving. Nobody's dropping out to Englewood. to watch the Clippers. I'm sorry, but continue.
Let's pick the game.
Yeah. I'm going with Chargers.
Chargers.
I think Cowboys fucked up by not winning next week because the Chargers defense is going to smack these niggas in the face.
Yep.
I'm going to roll with the Chargers as well. Sunday Night Football on NBC. We have
big game here.
City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. I am going to go with Kansas City laying 3.5 points. I think Kansas City wins this.
I'm going 14.5 for the Ravens. Mm. Yeah, I'm talking a big dub coming from the Ravens.
You already know who I'm rolling with, bro. You already know.
Of course. The mulatto quarterback, huh?
Patty Mahomes, baby goat. I'm rolling with the Chiefs, man.
Did he throw a pick last game or not?
No.
Oh, he has no pick. He has no picks in the month of September ever.
Picks?
That's crazy.
What is that?
He's never lost a game in September.
What are those things you talking about?
He's throwing three interceptions that game.
Get the fuck out.
We don't need to worry about the winner of Monday Night Football. All we got to worry about is do the Packers cover 10.5?
Yes. Yes, they cover. And yes, I cannot wait to see Peyton Manning be disgusted with Jared Goff. That's going to be the highlight of the night.
Manning cast it just made the experience so much better. And I want to say, you know why Manning cast was better? I peep over to the actual, you know, Monday Night Football presentation. They talk about Waller. Apparently, he was struggling with opioid abuse. And he struggled with opioid abuse. I don't care. These players are more than the struggles that they came from. Talk about something positive. Man, he had a 4.0 or a 3.3 GPA. He's just a hard worker. I don't need to hear, his friend was shot and killed the other day. Like, come on, bro. Like, their players are so much more than the simple struggles that they have. And I appreciate the fact that Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, especially Russ. I thought Russ was the best interview on there because Russ was watching the game like a fan. You know what I'm saying? I know he had to go downstairs and keep the kids down because he was by himself. You know,
yeah, Sierra was at the Met Gala.
You know, he had to probably have the nanny upstairs that he probably banging. I'm sorry, bro, the spot up, Russ.
I am at Cameron Santos, Scott, Joe, that flows in lean.
I ain't finished.
You guys can finish this because I gotta get ready for work.
Okay.
Now we're good. We're done.
We're done.
We'll see you all later.
Yeah, we out.